Spring is here. That means it's time to get out and get on the road in my all-new 2023 Honda CR-V Hybrid. You heard right. The Honda CR-V is available in a hybrid model. I'm pretty excited about this. I've been waiting for the right time to make the switch to a hybrid, and I'm so glad I did. Not only am I greener, I can take on any terrain with the available real-time all-wheel drive and sport mode. Make a move to one of the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet. Find your CR-V hybrid at your local Honda dealer today.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
Episode of Chiefs Focus, First and 10 Live. We're here with JP, Caleb, and Quentin. What's up, Super Bowl champs?
Doing pretty good. Cloud nine still. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I'm going to be honest. So that's the Super Bowl party I was at. There was a cookie cake, right? And nobody really got into it. We had a lot of food. You saw my Twitter. You saw we had a baked potato bar. Fantastic idea. Anybody, for the future reference, for the future Super Bowl parties, I will also be having a baked potato bar. But
perfect.
There's a lot of food there, right? And someone brought this cookie cake, and nobody got into it because we were all full. We had a lot of food options. So when I left, I snagged the cookie cake. I grabbed the whole thing, just the whole packet. I've just been munching on this thing for the past couple of days, and I can't stop. It's a problem. Every time I look over at this cookie cake, there's just another piece missing of it, and I've damn near ate half a cookie cake by myself the last 2 days.
You send some my way, I'd appreciate send some my way.
And I'm not a sweet person, dude. I'm usually like, the darker the chocolate, the better. Like, I'm not a sweets person, but man, there's something about this Super Bowl cookie cake. I don't know if it's the icing. I don't know if it's just like, I don't know. Whoever made this cookie cake, I don't know where they got it from. I don't know what store they got it from. You made a damn good Super Bowl cookie cake because it's fantastic. And I can't stop eating it.
I can't eat them. It's just too sweet for me, man. Yeah. I can't eat all that sugar.
That's too much. I've had a lot of sugar the last couple days. I'm trying to stop.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, Juju, my man Juju, decided to do a little bit of retaliation on Twitter today. Kind of can't blame him after what I heard. And he got a little bit of snapback from A.J. Brown. Apparently A.J. doesn't know the story, but, it is what it is.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's good stuff. He said cookie cakes have meth in them.
Dude, cakes, first of all, cookie cakes are a tradition in my household. I get a cookie cake for my birthday every year because when I was on vacation visiting my uncle when I was a kid, we were in San Diego on the 4th of July. My uncle was still in the Marines at the time. And we went to the store on base to go get me a cake. But there were no, there were, they didn't have any cakes left at the grocery store, on the on base grocery store. So my mom bought a cookie cake and just had them put my name on it, and she was worried I was gonna freak out. But you give a six-year-old Quentin, you throw a giant ass cookie in front of his face, yeah, it's awesome. So now I have a cookie cake, you know, for birthday every
year. Well, you're in a good spot then, man. That is awesome.
That is. My daughter loved cookie cakes for a very long time. Well, until she was six. And then she quit liking them. But I'm glad she did. But yeah, anyway, Juju, he made a nice little Valentine's card today, you know, for our man there, Bradbury. And I thought it was a little comical. I thought it was great.
It's funny.
It is funny.
I think that's from normally NFL memes. They make some stuff like that every single year. So I don't know if he made it or he copied it. But regardless, that was funny. It was.
It was funny. It was funny. And there was some meaning behind it. And I understand it. I get it. I get the whole meaning behind it after I was told what I was told. And A.J. Brown didn't like it very much. And then, you know, of course, Tyreek had to dive into it. And it was a big mess. But it was, there was meaning behind it. And look, you know, when you look, if you're going to trash talk a player on the field and prior to a game, and then when they win a Super Bowl championship, expect to get a little bit of trash talking back. That's just basically how it transpired. And there was a little bit of trash talking prior to the even this. I mean, Juju's been in the league for 5 years, 6 years now, but there's been some trash talking prior to this game and during, you know, his career. He's gotten a lot of flack from players in the league. And he bit back. So, and there's trash talk every year. These guys act like they never trash talked before. I mean, look, Juju's not the trash talk type for the most part. Pretty classy guy. He trash talked. So what? He has the right to trash talk back a little bit. And there was meaning behind it. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, Tyreek had to get involved for no good reason. He's been off.
He's bored. He's very bored. Mahomes said in his tweet, he's bored. That's
yeah,
basically
what
it was.
I don't know if he's bored. Well, he should be bored. He could have been in this Super Bowl if he wasn't an idiot. But it is what it is. Tyreek's at home. You know, he might be on that boat in Miami. He might be, maybe he was in Cancun. I don't know where he was at, but he sure as hell wasn't in Arizona. And that's fine with me. Because we had everybody we needed in Arizona this year to win a Super Bowl. I think, personally, we probably wouldn't have won that game if we had Tyreek without the guys that we had in the Super Bowl this year. I'm happy with what we had. I actually enjoyed the Juju tweet. I thought it was great. I got it up.
You want me to just read off the... You want me to just read off what
happened? Yeah, read it off really quick. I mean, AJ was an asshole, and... You know,
yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, well, there was a tweet that was put out like a Valentine's Day card because if, you know, you forgot it was Valentine's Day and you forgot to give your significant other something, you might as well just keep listening because at this point you're screwed.
Yeah.
So a tweet was put out and it says, I'll hold you when it matters most. And it's a picture of the corner that was holding
James
Juju
Bradbury.
Smith-Schuster on last play.
Oh, man.
AJ Brown.
Which is cute. It's a cute little nice Valentine's
Day thing.
It's funny.
Okay. It's funny. All right. And then AJ Brown responded to this, and this is his response. First off, congratulations. Y'all deserve it. This is lame. You was on the way out the league before Mahomes re-secured your career on your 1 year deal, TikTok boy.
He's going a little too far.
You, but you don't act like you was like that or whatever. But congratulations again. Now, first of all, anybody that calls Juju Smith-Schuster TikTok boy makes it sound like, if any of y'all heard, y'all know who Bling Bling Boy is from that cartoon show. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I hear. But the TikTok boy, that's also funny. You know, like, you can't put this out and not expect some clapback. So to call him TikTok boy also, just chef's kiss. So then Juju Smith-Schuster was able to reply later on, glad you were able to get that off your chest after all these years. Good game, bro. Thumbs up and ring emoji. And then that should be the end of the conversation. But yeah. Chris Jones one responded.
Oh.
With congrats, champ, crying face emoji. So everybody's getting involved on this.
Yeah, yeah. How about Tyreek's little comment, though?
Tyreek needs to be quiet. Yeah, Tyreek said he tweet quoted
Juju's response and said, "Boy playing the victim." Now I got to get off Twitter for the day. Okay, Tyreek, get the hell out of it. You're in Miami, not in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. Get the hell on, Felicia. You got no business in this conversation. You're not on either team. You're in Miami, not in anything but a boat. With your non-$30 million a year contract. So stay away from us.
Do we think that's why Mahomes responded back? This guy just must be bored.
Probably. That's exactly why he responded back. That's exactly why he responded back.
That's what I was thinking. Because it's like, Tyreek, yeah. There's no reason. But regardless, I mean, hey, the Chiefs traded him for reasons, and it's worked out.
Reasons. Super Bowl reasons. Not one reason, but reasons. We'll leave it at that.
There's reasons why.
Yeah.
Tyreek isn't like that guy, and everybody knows a guy like this. You know, like you're at a party and, you know, he's on his phone most of the time. And while the party's just popping off, everybody's having fun. He keeps telling you about this other party that you need to go to because some of the other, you know, like higher class kids are at. And everybody's just like, hey, man, if you want to go, you go. And he leaves. And then when he gets to that party, it sucks and he wants to come back in.
Or they don't want him there.
Because, and then they lock the door on the way behind him. So,
yeah. Or they don't. The other party didn't want him there to begin with. He's Pinky off of Friday. Anyway,
You were doing old references. But regardless, I mean, that whole situation, I don't really know. Hey, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be some trash talk. Obviously, there's more to the situation.
There is.
There is, and that, unfortunately, we see stuff probably get said on the field and off the field. I mean, a lot of stuff. That's why we've seen a lot of these old documentaries. Especially around sports teams, you find a little bit behind the scenes of things that were said and things like that. Prime example we'll see is whenever Derek Thomas and Shannon Sharpe went at that one time. A lot of different things. We can look back and see the old tale of a bunch of things. But regardless, hey, the Chiefs won.
Hey, by the way, if anybody wants to really know the truth behind that, because I was around that situation, that was actually over a girl. If anybody really wants to know, Shannon Sharpe was upset because a girl like Derek Thomas that didn't like Shannon Sharpe that Shannon Sharpe liked. That's what it was all over. End of story. Shannon had that goofy-ass look on his face. And this girl liked Derek. And she didn't like Shannon. Every girl likes you, man. Why? Well, because Derek was a nice guy that girls flock towards. And you're a goofy-ass dude that nobody likes. Pretty easy to answer. End of story. We can move on from that. Anyway, Eric Bieni was shunned again this year for a head coaching job. We've talked about this in the past. Yep, and we'll talk about it now. I have had my issues with him as far as being, you know, I understand to some degree why some teams had issues in the past with him, but I do believe he deserves a shot. Regardless of what's gone on in the past, he has proven himself above other people to be a head coach. Some of the things that have gone on and been said to me and other people is the fact that they don't believe he can do it without Andy and Patrick. He's a horrible interviewer. His past has been brought up at numerous times. I don't know what his past has to do with it because that was 30 years ago. It has nothing to do with the last 10 years of his life. So, it sounds like he may take an OC job with another team because that's what it's going to take, apparently, for him to prove himself to be a head coach in this league. I don't think that's fair, given the fact that plenty of coaches that really haven't proven themselves have gotten head coaching jobs. Namely, the two that just got head coaching jobs in the last 2 days. I don't know what it's going to take other than him going somewhere else to get a head coaching job. And right now, the one place that I heard was a pretty good taker for him right now is Washington. So if he goes to Washington as a OC and does something really good with them, if it is it ends up being Washington, he may have a shot in the next year or two to be a head coach. But if he stays here, I don't see it happening. I just don't. And as sucky as it sounds, I don't see it happening. Andy's not going anywhere. It is what it is. I mean, and there, I do have something else. I'm going to segue off this Andy thing in a minute, but I don't think it's fair. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it, but has he had his issues? Yes. But I think he still deserves a shot.
One thing this morning that Shannon Sharp said for EB, they keep moving the goalposts, and they're letting guys like Nagy get a job and Peterson, and they didn't do half the stuff. They're literally moving the goalposts every single time, and we see a lot of this has happened. It's kind of like, well, like you said, it's going to have to him do a lateral move from one OC to another OC. You only see that really happen if there's tension in the organization. Now, there probably has been tension. There's always been tension. But he's helped his team win two Super Bowls, win a 5-AC championship. He may not be the best individual, maybe on the staff, but he has a part in the success.
Yeah.
He has had some part. He has been there. So I just think at the end of the day, he should have the opportunity afforded to him to have a head coaching job. When you let guys such as Zach Taylor, who's a quarterback coach of the Rams, get a head coaching job, never was an offensive coordinator. Things like that continue to be moved along down the line. The goalposts have been continually moved. I mean, Andy got in front of the owners last year and was pleading for EB, and no one listened to him. I mean, at this point, I don't see anything that's going to happen. It's just going to be the same cycle. He gets interviewed for these jobs to check off that box for a minority candidate, and then that's it. That's how I see it. Because at the end of the day, it looks like he's not going to get the job he should get when you have guys like Zach Taylor, who's a QB coach, and many of the others, like a Joe Judge, who's like a quarterback and special teams coordinator. I mean, come on, goodness gracious. Are we picking off a man, or are we just picking off who we know? I mean, I guess that's kind of enough what it is, but I feel like at this point, under Andy Reid's stature and everything that's gone, the Andy Reid disciple, you would think he would have had an opportunity by now.
As a matter of fact, if you really want to look at it, I believe in the 5 years, or no, 7 years, I'm sorry, that Sean McVay has been a head coach, 5 assistants have become head coaches under his tenure.
Exactly. It's some number like, I think there's at least 2 or 3 that can think. There 5. Might be more.
It okay. is 5.
So, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it's, you know, I understand that there's issues with Bieniemy and the problems that he's had within our organization. I know about these problems. We've talked about some of them on our show over the last 3 years. But at some point, when you get to, you know, he's done a really good job this year of keeping his calm. Well, I mean, for the most part. He had a little issue at the beginning of the season that went away fairly quickly, and he did a good job. Now, I don't know if that derailed anything for him. I'm not really sure. But
I think if we look at every single coach, and I'll let you guys finish. I think if we look at every single coach, there has been tension and issues. It's not just EB, I feel like, personally. There's always been some sort of issue that's been prominent. I just feel like at the end of the day, he should have the opportunity to get to that next spot rather than be stay stagnant. It's been 3 years. I don't know what else he has to do.
Yeah.
So
it's been 5 years, really. I mean,
yeah.
he's been our OC since 2018. So, I mean, it's time. You know, I understand maybe 3 years of learning and developing, but at this point,
But Doug Peterson, 1 year. Nagy, 1 year. So.
I agree. Yeah. And Thiz is right. It might be more. I don't know. It's just it's to a point now to where I think he needs to have a shot.
I think that there are more people that have less qualifications that have gotten jobs in the NFL at the head coaching position than Eric Bieniemy. And if you look at Andy Reid's coaching tree, it's been – I mean, he's had a fantastic amount of success coming out of his tree. Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl. Sean McDermott has taken the Bills out of into relevance. There have been a lot of quality guys that have come out and become head coaches and have been successful under him. a lot of people don't know that Ron Rivera was under Andy Reid too, and he took the Saints, or he took the Panthers to a Super Bowl with Cam Newton. So there's been a lot of successful guys to come out of the Andy Reid coaching tree, and you know, it sucks to see that once again we see a qualified candidate here in Kansas City get passed over, because I do think that he is one of, if not the most qualified candidate out there. The arguments that I'm seeing is that it's a lot of the stuff we continue to hear, that, you know, he doesn't interview well, or that he doesn't call the plays. But I mean, there just has to be more than that. And I'm not sure what it is. I just think that at a certain point, you would think any of these organizations that's continuously hiring, firing candidates, that he would have eventually found his way into one of these positions. Whether years ago, you know, when the Lions were firing every year, I really thought that he was going to be a good candidate for the Cardinals job, and they decided to go to defensive route. I just think that that's a mistake in its own right, because why you want a defensive head coach when you have this young quarterback that's up and coming with Kyler Murray? So yeah, I just think that it's a mistake that once again he gets passed up. I think that next year we're once again going to see a bunch of candidates, or no, a bunch of positions open, and I hope he can get one then. But you know, we're sort of on the same track. I feel like we're just keep going in a circle. The only team that, you know, shouldn't get I don't want to say, you know, blamed, or that's not the right word, but The thing that I want to bring up is that
spring is here. That means it's time to get out and get on the road in my all-new 2023 Honda CR-V hybrid. You heard right. The Honda CR-V is available in a hybrid model. I'm pretty excited about this. I've been waiting for the right time to make the switch to a hybrid, and I'm so glad I did. Not only am I greener, I can take on any terrain with the available real-time all-wheel drive and sport mode. Make a move to one of the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet. Find your CR-V hybrid at your local Honda dealer today. Spring is here. That means it's time to get out and get on the road in my all-new 2023 Honda CR-V hybrid. You heard right. The Honda CR-V is available in a hybrid model. I'm pretty excited about this. I've been waiting for the right time to make the switch to a hybrid, and I'm so glad I did. Not only am I greener, I can take on any terrain with the available real-time all-wheel drive and sport mode. Make a move to one of the most electrifying Honda vehicles yet. Find your CR-V hybrid at your local Honda dealer today.
Sean Payton is the only more qualified coach that was around this cycle. That's what
Easily, 100%, easily.
So the Broncos are the only ones that are really not in this conversation, because they were able to get obviously a more qualified head coach around this cycle. But every team that either just didn't interview Eric Bieniemy, or that passed him over, I think you have some serious thoughts about how their organization is run, because he's the best candidate that was out there at the time, and it's just frustrating we continue to see this.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Sean Payton obviously is the more qualified coach. I just feel like at the end of the day, nothing's really going to change. I feel like he's going to have to do that lateral move, and if that, he may not even get the job. As we see NFL circles, people talk. People have different opinions and things how things should work. But at the end of the day, I hope he gets a job. If he leaves and goes to the Washington the Commanders and goes there, I wish him all the luck. I just feel like it's kind of a travesty. He has not gotten the opportunity that should have been afforded him. But regardless, we'll see what happens from that standpoint. It'll all work out. That's kind of how I feel there. So it'll all work out.
Here, hopefully he doesn't get the Al Saunders treatment, which I agree with. And what Jeff A said, you know, I mean, if you're a bad team, you know, why not hire him? Hey, if you're a good team, why not hire him? I mean, regardless, you know, if you're struggling.
I mean, the Cardinals are honestly a perfect team.
I think they just need to make a decision on, you know, what's gonna be best. Look, man, if Matt Patricia can get a job as a head coach, anybody should be able to. Sorry. Matt sucked as a head coach. Look, I mean, I don't know if anybody was as bad as him besides maybe Urban Meyer.
He was terrible. Urban Meyer would take the case, but
yeah,
I don't trust any worst man that I don't trust any man that carries a pencil and has laminated paper in front of him, so.
Yeah, that's true. He was pretty rough. But anyway, going to the Andy Reid situation really quick, or to a situation with Andy Reid, and I'm going to bring this up because there was a little bit of mixed feelings on Twitter about this. I have no mixed feelings when it comes to this. Terry Bradshaw is an asshole. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
People don't seem to like him as much.
I don't. I didn't have a feeling for him either way, to be honest with you, prior to the Super Bowl. I had no feeling for him either way. I mean, yeah, he said things that were stupid. But he didn't say things that were downright disrespectful, for the most part. What he said to Andy on the podium and on the world's biggest stage, to me, was absolutely ridiculous. And there's people out there saying, oh, he was just having fun, they're friends. If you're friends, you definitely don't call somebody out because of their weight on the biggest stage in the world. I agree with you. He is a clown. He said he looked like a clone. They never showed his face. Well, if he was cloned, then I don't know what to do. But anyway, to sit there and say the things that he said to Andy, waddle on over here, was ridiculous. Clark Hunt's face said it all to me. Looking at Clark's face, Clark was just in amazement that he was even saying the things he was saying.
Well, this isn't the first time Terry Bradshaw has said something that has made people mad. I mean, there's been multiple times, many different times we've seen this happen. It doesn't surprise me. As Chiefs Talk on the Rocks Corey just said, at halftime, he looked lost. I don't really know what's going on. But this season, I've seen a lot of comments he said that some people have not liked. This is one situation I really haven't gotten to see much into it. I think I saw the video, and it kind of looked as if Andy was like, and kind of Clark just kind of had his head down trying to move out of the way. I'm not really really say what to look at the situation, but I think we kind of agree as a whole. Bradshaw this season, some of the comments he has said has kind of been out of pocket.
Well, I guess my thing is if he's at the age that he feels like, okay, I'm 80 or whatever he is, and I can just say what I want, I'm the unfiltered old guy, then it's time to get off the stage.
Well, let me interrupt you, but I feel like that will be a talk this offseason with him because a lot of people are not happy with his comments he has said. There's a couple I know off the top of my head that people were not very happy with. So I would not be surprised if that gets addressed and fixed.
He said, I don't hear Terry call Andy fat. Terry was a cheeseburger away from 400 pounds. And he's not wrong. Look, Terry's got basically a coffee table in front of him every time he walks around. I mean, the man can set a whole plate on his stomach and just eat dinner. So I don't know who he's calling fat, but Andy's done Andy's struggled with his weight his entire life. So any friend a true friend, would say, hey, I'm not going to call you out on the world's biggest stage. I'm not going to do that. And then to say, I know you're getting up there in age. Are you going to do this forever? It's about time to retire. What is wrong with you? Go have a cheeseburger on us. I mean, seriously. There was nothing funny about anything that he said. I'm sorry. I don't know if he was trying to amuse himself or amuse the people that were in the crowd. Or make the Eagles fans feel good. I don't know what he was trying to do.
Well, it sounds like a bad joke, too.
It went really bad.
And that's another thing, too. And it's one of those situations where I have a feeling he will be talked to about, if not that, many other things that have happened.
He should be off Fox. He's not doing a very good job.
I don't know if they're going to kick him off, but we'll see what happens. Quinn, do you have any opinion on this situation?
Yeah, I think it was inappropriate. It's one thing, Andy Reid makes fun about his weight, but that's one thing if you're doing it yourself, right? He talks about it. But I think that's inappropriate, unprofessional from Terry Bradshaw. I don't like when Terry Bradshaw does a lot of the stuff on, like, when we were watching the Fox, whenever we have to watch a Fox game, and they go to the halftime show, and he's the one that tries to do the catch up with all the halftime show, and he can't keep up. So, you know, I do think part of it is just that's just kind of who he is, I guess. I think he's just one of those people that says what he wants to say, and sometimes it doesn't hit well. And I'm surprised he was put in that position to begin with. That's what surprised me, that he was the one that out of all of the people that were there, they had the entire crew on the field. They sent Terry Bradshaw up. That surprised me, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, it's not a good look for really anybody involved. I think Andy Reid, you know, good job of him, you know, taking it and not making it into a big deal. But yeah, I mean, I know
Andy's
wouldn't be happy
with it. Andy's a different guy.
It.
No, and Andy's such a nice guy and very, very well-rounded. He's not going to say anything. But here, look, he asked, he said Terry disappeared for a couple months. A10 asked last week if he was still alive. Okay, I will give Andy Terry the benefit of the doubt on this. Terry did have cancer. He battled it. He's been off of that for, I mean, he's in remission, or he battled it and he won. But regardless, that's no excuse to be a jerk. I'm sorry. It's just not. Nobody thinks he's funny. And even some of the guys that are on the show. Who?
Terry what? Bradshaw thinks Terry Bradshaw's funny.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, he probably thinks he's hilarious, but.
yeah, he does.
Yeah. Well, he's got a one-man show then. I mean, he's got a one-man audience, you know. So, anyway, you know, at least he's got somebody. But I guess the whole thing is that he's just at that point where I've noticed even on this show, like when he does, like you said, the halftime shows, there's times that he irritates the people that he's working with. And when you start to irritate the people you're working with and you interrupt them, it's just time to end it. I know, I'll tell you somebody else that looks a little strange to me, and I didn't notice it as much until during the season. I didn't even notice it as much, but he was stumbling over his words a whole lot during the day of the Super Bowl, and it made me a little bit nervous, was Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson.
I wonder if
he's
dealing with something.
He might be, but Jimmy is one of the most well-spoken people and very respectful and never really stumbles over his words. But he was stumbling over his words a lot during the pregame shows. And some of them were actually helping him along, I noticed, with the things that he was saying. He's usually very fluid, very well-spoken, but he wasn't that day, the day of the Super Bowl. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was just – I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he was having an episode, if there was something, you know, inherently happening. I don't know what was going on. But it made me a little bit nervous for him because I really like Jimmy Johnson. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
I
thought he was Jimmy Johnson's a great commentator. Like I said, great coach at Miami. The U, and then also with the Cowboys, and did his thing as a broadcaster. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's dealing with medical issues.
He might be.
I think. I just hope everything works out for both of them because I like listening to them, specifically Jimmy Johnson. When I watched the U documentary about Miami football, he has incredible football knowledge. For someone that can turn around a college franchise and then do that with an NFL a franchise and win multiple championships at both levels, that's a special, special, special guy. So I hope everything works out there. But if we could transition real quick. You see, the parade is tomorrow.
Yes.
I know, JP, you weren't able to go, and I know, Quentin, you were there last time. But what were some of your guys' kind of favorite memories from the parade? Because I know, JP, you watched and probably saw all those videos. Quentin, you were there. I was there. What was your guys' like favorite memory of the just parade in general? You want to go first, JP, you want to think about?
I think Travis Kelce.
Just in
Travis
general?
Just Travis Kelce alone was my favorite person in the parade. The dude was hammered, and he was having so much fun being hammered. And he was just so happy to be where he was and just so proud that they did that for Big Red. I think the fact that Big Red won a Super Bowl and got his ring, and it was just the best thing ever. I mean, for me, I think that was just part of it. I think the fact that the team rallied around Big Red to win that Super Bowl was great. So.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I watched it here up in Maryville, but I will say the Travis Kelce one was pretty memorable. All of the video, I mean, the cameras were constantly going around the parade route, and when Patrick Mahomes caught, you know, two beers, I mean, everybody was hammered then, and I'm sure everybody's going to be hammered tomorrow, but I just hope that they got, you know, more mics this time. You know, I kind of just want to see the chaos, honestly. That's the best part about a parade is the chaos that ensues based on based on it. So, I think it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to hear what Mitch Holthus has to say. He always knows how to set those sort of things up. I mean, it's how could you not enjoy it here in Kansas City? Even if you can't be there, you know, you can watch it on TV. If the things that are going to come out of it, right, you obviously aren't going to be able to consume it all at once, but because of the way Twitter works, I mean, all of the different videos that are going to come out from individuals or people, it's going to be very entertaining.
That is true. I would say I thought you were there. My favorite moment probably was whenever you saw just the Chiefs on stage and Travis Kelce just gave that beautiful speech.
Yeah.
Beautiful speech. He was just like saying whatever he wanted to say. If you look back at it now, they have to obviously bleep out several things he said, but his speech was phenomenal. Mahomes was on stage. He had no voice. He was like, "We won the Super Bowl. My kneecap was inside my leg. We won." And then Tyreek Hill was up there saying, "We'll be back here next year." Da, da, da. I mean, just to kind of see the whole team happy. I will say that day was very, very, very cold. And being up at getting there like at around 5 in the morning was not fun. And it was cold. But regardless, a lot of memories. So if you're listening, you're thinking about going, I would recommend, number one, getting there early and just enjoying it. It'll be warmer.
It'll be warmer. Get there and all of the weather should stay up for another day.
Exactly. So, yeah. And everybody will be your friends tomorrow. So there shouldn't be any issue. Everybody should be your friend.
Yeah, high
this isn't Philly. You don't have to worry about strangers. People falling through, you know, falling through.
No bus stops.
And climbing up poles and stuff. You don't have to worry about any of that.
I remember. So where that field is at, if you look back at those apartments, people were like on the side. It was people were on the trees. People were in like the sides, like that was kind of dipping down towards the street. It was odd. You had people that were in the middle of the what was it called? That fountain. And seeing in the fountain, you had people jumping down, slipping. I mean, it was a crazy day. It was a crazy day. But regardless, I just want to pull up there. Do you want to transition to that comment by Corey, Chiefs Talk on the Rocks?
Yeah.
About the opening game?
Yeah.
What does he say?
He said, how funny would it be if to play Miami week opening week and Tyreek has to watch the banner and the ceremonies and the ring ceremonies.
Let's do it. Hey,
you know what? He made his choice. He's going to have to stand there and watch everybody, you know, enjoy themselves. So that's on him. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do next year. I don't know how well apparently Tua is okay right now. I don't know if they're going to, you know, ride the wave with Tua yet. We're hearing different things about Derek Carr right now. There's teams that are still interested in him, Miami being one of them. He is being cut. He's requested to be cut from the Raiders.
Yeah, he already got cut. Him.
Yeah,
$45 million.
Yeah, so it's Miami, stupid. The Jets. There's many teams that are very interested in him right now. From what I understand, there's 7 teams that are interested in him. So some teams are under the radar that are interested in him. I didn't think he'd draw that much interest, but
I think he's good. He's just been on a bad team this entire time. I think if you put around with a good coach, a good coaching staff, an owner that does not get involved and surround with some players, I think he'll be fine.
You know where I think he would succeed? I got to be honest. San Francisco.
Where? As
San
Patrick Francisco. Mahomes' backup.
Quentin, the mayor, tweeted that today. He said he's going to be QB2. I just laughed.
Oh, did he? Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he did. He said Derek Carr will be QB2 next year.
That's
Mahomes.
Funny. No, I think he would do good in San Francisco simply because, I mean, look, man, if you can make Brock
everybody
Purdy
does
in
well
system,
in San Francisco.
Everybody does. And honestly, I mean, he's the better of everybody that's played in that system for the last few years. he's better than all of them. I mean, I don't know if he's so much better than Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's pretty damn good. So you put him out there, he's going to look pretty good. So if I was San Francisco right now, I'd offer him the bag. Who are you going to get better than
I don't think they're going to move away yet from Purdy. Or...
I don't think they are either, but Garoppolo's gone. I mean,
Garoppolo's
he's
a free agent. So
yeah.
So just he's offer done. Him the Jimmy Garoppolo contract.
Yeah. I mean, why not? It's $137 million. Who cares? I mean, that's a minimum contract for a quarterback right now.
So with the $27 million, and you can just throw him in there, and then you can have your quarterback competition and call it good. So
yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be a good fit for him. I know the Jets are interested in him.
I don't know what other
Carolina's interested
free agents
in him.
That Saints.
But the Saints.
That'd be interesting.
There's a lot of teams out there that are really interested in him right now. So there's so many teams that are in need of a starting quarterback, and some are extremely desperate. So
especially
he's got a spot
in the NFC.
Exactly.
And
they have two good quarterbacks in the NFC. So I don't know. You got two good quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah, and I think regardless, he's going to end up going somewhere that's going to be very beneficial to him. I think he's going to take the time and try to figure out where he needs to go.
Look at Quentin.
Maybe his internet froze. He'll be back.
There he's back. He's back. No, he's stuck again.
No, it's freezing.
This is funny. We got to watch this for a minute. There he's back. Nope, he's back.
There he is.
He's back. He's back. That was some good. Hey man, we got to save this show. That was some good faces there.
Yeah,
that was some good stuff.
Screen just froze up there.
Yeah, I'm going to take some screenshots of that, and you can use them for your Twitter shots. Your avatar. So
I was just going to say that I think that he's more valuable in the NFC than in the AFC because there's three good quarterbacks in the NFC: Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, and you might be able to say the Bears quarterback, but he's so unproven. I would probably put Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins in the same category. So
yeah,
it's there. He's definitely more valuable there in the NFC. So for him going to a team, I mean, you can honestly have an argument that Jared Goff is the third best quarterback in the NFC.
Well, and think about it. Why wouldn't you go to the NFC when you got so much firepower for a nine-year veteran or a 10-year veteran, I guess he is now. Let's see, came in 15. No, it was an 8-year veteran. 8-year veteran in this league, I would take an NFC position right now over an AFC position any day of the week. Because you could be a star.
Especially if you go to the NFC South, where that division is so bad that no matter whatever team ends up with a quarterback there is going to win that division. And because they're all in need of quarterbacks. The Falcons,
the Bucks,
Panthers, Saints, and Bucks are all in need of quarterbacks. So all of the teams there should be vying for Derek Carr's options, or should at least be making a phone call, because whoever ends up with the best quarterback in that division is going to win that division.
I tell you what, if the Bucks end up with him, he's got some firepower there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. No matter if they can keep it, that's the thing. Everyone might disperse.
They might. Some of them are under contract. And I think some of them, will disperse unless they get a good quarterback. But that wouldn't be a bad team for him. I don't know. There's some spots out there for him, especially in the NFC, he could go to and make a splash. And that would be a great place for him to go. Anywhere in the NFC South would be great. The NFC North would be a little tough
carousel.
For him.
The quarterback carousel has started its spin.
Yes, it has. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But Aaron Rodgers, he has started his darkness retreat. And he's going to make a decision after his 4-day retreat, or whatever the hell that thing is he's doing, his spiritual LSD thing he's on. Acid, peyote, whatever he's doing in that house.
His night retreat?
Yeah, and he's going to, I guess he goes in there with a bag full of drugs and no food, and he just stays in there for 4 days straight in the dark and decides what he wants to do. Whatever the spirits tell him, he's going
to
do.
Well, So. I don't know what he's going to do. I will say this. For many years, he has done what Brett Favre did. I mean, honestly, look on the kind of similar individuals. I don't know if I want to play. Do I want to play and draw out this whole saga? Look, yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, but it may be time to move on and go to another team. If you want to go to a team that has a chance to do some good and maybe do well in the playoffs, that could be a team like the Jets. He's not going to the 49ers, even though that's the best option, I believe, personally, because he's mad they didn't draft him. I just feel like he's at a point in his career, he just needs to make a decision. A lot of people, especially when I've been looking on sports talk shows and listening to radio, people don't like he does this, oh, I want to wait and see, like all the attention on me. You got to make a decision because eventually they're going to move on from him one way or another. Either you're going to go to another team and have a couple good years, or you're going to be on the Packers for the rest of your career. So there's a lot of things that can happen. I understand he obviously has a different belief, understanding of the way things work. Hence why he's going on this retreat. Hey, that's what he wants to do. Let him go and do that. But it comes to a point where it's like, come on, make a decision. Because every single offseason, you guys may or may not agree with me, there's always something where he does. I'm like, he's like, oh, I don't know. When it came to last season about when he wasn't happy, he was supposedly requested a trade on that. Was it last year's draft or year before's draft? He was like, well, I don't want to be here. So there's always all these different things.
Well, when they drafted a quarterback, I just hope something can
be figured out.
They drafted a quarterback without his knowledge.
But I understand they should have told him, but it's a business, too. I do agree they should have said something to him. I do agree. It shouldn't have been blindsided. But
if they did that to Mahomes, how would you feel?
No, it's not right. You know. And that's why I'm saying they should let him know. But it's also a business. So it's two sides. And I don't think the Packers are innocent. I mean, they never surround him with quality talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave him a bunch of rookies this year. And he did.
Well, I will say this. The thing I do know about Aaron Rodgers. What's up, Chiefs Live? The one thing I do know that I've talked to some people that are around him, that he has made it very clear to them that he refuses to go to the Jets. Reason is because he is not following the Brett Favre train. He doesn't.
The Jets are good though. He has a chance to do something. Well, I guess he's not going to go nowhere good then.
Well, what I was told is that there's probably a 10% chance that he leaves Green Bay, that he will most likely end up back in Green Bay. I was told that they told him they would surround him with talent on both sides of the ball if he comes back. Now, whether that happens or not, that remains to be seen. He's heard stories like this in the past, and they've yet to do it. But he will not go to the Jets, he said. Now, he can also change his mind after the drugs wear off. I don't know if it will or not, but he says he's not going there because he doesn't want to follow in Brett Favre's footsteps any longer. He still has a problem with Brett Favre.
I mean, he's doing everything Brett Favre has done football-wise.
Well, think about it, though.
I'm not saying it's not bad. But it's
no,
like
I'm just saying, think
the
about the
thing
same
thing
team, though. Same team, same struggles. It's the same struggles, same ownership, same president, same crap, same everything that Brett Favre went through. I guess my whole thing is you got two quarterbacks. One is extremely on the other end of the spectrum than the other when it comes to mentality. And then the same exact pattern of behavior, it almost makes you think maybe it is the organization. So, I don't know, man.
That's why I say there's fault in both sides.
There is.
Quentin, do you see him staying with the Packers or going to some other place?
I honestly, the more and more I think about it, I do think that if he's playing this year, maybe he does just stay with the Packers and all this is, you know, like right now he thinks that he wants to go somewhere else. But, you know, I'm just not sure with what it'll cost the team to trade for him, you know, and trying to take up that salary cap hit just for 1 year, maybe two at most for Aaron Rodgers services. It just seems like a lot to give up for. You know, a risky call, to say the very least. So I'm not sure that it's really worth the investment from another team. On the other hand, you know, the Packers should try and wash their hands clean with this because they've got Jordan Love sitting there, and there's a chance that, you know, you could have Jordan Love trying to restructure to get a new contract and never have played, never be his team. It's like you don't even know what you have if Aaron Rodgers plays another year in Green Bay. So, you know, they're just stuck with – They're stuck in a pretty bad position, and I'm not so sure that.
And they put themselves in that position too.
They did, and I'm not so sure there's a real way out of it because the Packers could really use those draft assets to put a team around Jordan Love because, you know, there's not a whole lot left on that offense.
I agree with you. They made that mistake, though. They put themselves in that position. They did it to spite Rodgers.
I'll be honest with you, JP. Hey, I would trade to the I would have traded him to the Broncos. We saw what they gave for Russell Wilson. They probably gave probably would have given a little bit more.
They probably would have.
They probably would have.
They don't operate correctly. Honestly, they don't. They don't use their head. They use their emotions. They don't use their business mind. They use their anger and their spitefulness to operate. And that's just not how you run a business. And it doesn't matter what business it is. You cannot operate a business on anger and spitefulness. And that's what they've done. For years they've done that. And it's been kicking them in the teeth. So they have to make a decision. And somebody has to come in there and run that team as a business. And not as a schoolroom. As a bunch of kids fighting in a school.
There's just so much drama every single year.
Regardless, bunch of kids in a schoolyard fighting, and it's just stupid. I mean, it's not good business. So
it's not. It's
so we got a question here. It says, "Who do you all prefer in free agency? Juju, Keenan Allen, D Hop via trade, maybe even Mike Evans. I don't want Mike Evans. He's Mr. Injury. Keenan Allen. I don't even know. D Hop." Honestly, 30 years old, unless he's ring chasing and wants to come in on a $4 million a year deal. I honestly, at Juju's age, if his knee's okay after he has his surgery, I'm good with Juju. I'm happy with him, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that Juju's your best option. Keenan Allen continues to have a significant injury history. I know Juju hasn't been healthy the entire time, but the ones that Keenan Allen has are a little bit more concerning for me. Like, I'm not going to hold it against Juju Smith-Schuster for getting a concussion in the middle of the year. I'm not holding that against him. But
no,
I think that, being in the offense for a year already helps, promote that if you're going to sign a guy, why not sign the guy that is already in-house? So,
26 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with Juju. He's younger. He's more experienced in this offense. Better injury history. And I'm not giving up draft assets for a 30-year-old wide receiver with D-Hop or Mike Evans. So I think that your options are better spent elsewhere in this offense. I think that the Chiefs have proven that they can win without having top-end wide receiver talent. They're really the first one in this modern era, I think, that didn't have that wow guy. They have Travis Kelce, so I guess he's the wow guy, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs do in the offseason. There's going to be some big moves done. The Chiefs are probably going to – right now they have 9 draft picks, but they're going to get a couple of comp picks. So they'll probably end with 10 or 11. And maybe it'll 12. Be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. How I feel about this is this. I, number one, hey, let's bring back Juju. I feel like, and JP and I have talked about this on the show, and I think when you're on, then McCall Harmon may or may not be next year.
Yeah.
When it comes to guys such as a Keenum Allen or D-Hop, specifically D-Hop, I don't see anyone picking up his contract. And JP and I know we talked about this. He could be cut. Same thing with Keenum Allen. If he's ring chasing, great. We can bring him in for a good team-friendly deal, see what he can do. This is not where we're going to bring him in for, 3 years, $75 million. We do not need a number one receiver. But I say, hey, if he wants to come in for, 2 years, $20 million, a lot of that is also structure bonus-based. That could work. Because I think he's in the point where he's tired of being on bad teams. He wants to win a ring. But then here's the other argument. We see players say, I want to, quote-unquote, go to a winner, but then go to a team like many years ago, the Lions, and get – $50 million, $70 million fully guaranteed. I understand their move, but it's like he's kind of at the point of his career. Does he want more money or does he want a ring? And he has a lot of money, and he may want more. But I feel like in order to help, Keenum is not going to work out, I feel like. Juju, yeah. I think they're going to bring him back, but I think if you could bring in D-Hop for a team-friendly deal, it's only going to make the offense that much better. And but the thing is, however, does he want to be that number one option? I think he'll have to buy into the system like, look, this is not a number one option. It's a plethora. Everybody gets theirs when they get theirs. And that's one thing why Juju did well, because he wasn't out there saying, I need my target, see my target. He was willing to work within the system.
Yeah.
That's how I felt personally. When it comes
to
Mike
Evans,
I don't know. I don't know. He's already won a ring. I see him going to another team, if anything. I don't see that.
I don't even know if they'll trade him. I mean, I really don't know. They don't have anybody.
I think they're in rebuild mode.
I don't know, man. They don't have anybody. I mean, I don't know. The Bucks are kind of a weird team. I don't know. He's got a lot of injury issues anyway, but I don't see D-Hop coming in here and going, okay, I'll play within the system. I'll be that guy that gets...
I feel like he could, because he wants to win a ring, and he's seeing how some of these guys who are good optimal other teams have come to work together. D-Hop will get his targets, but it's not going to be like the Tyreek where he's getting his. That's only Kelsey. He's going to get his sprinkles here and out. And eventually, if you can get D-Hop on this team with a Travis Kelsey and all the other guys, hey, maybe. You can't double-team anyone.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Look, if it was me, I would keep Juju, but that's just me. You know, if we can get him on a nothing deal and we got enough money to keep him, I mean, to get him, then okay. But I don't want to be in a position that anybody else on our team doesn't get a contract because of him. We don't sign who we have right now because of him. I guess that's where I'm at. Right now you got Orlando Brown Jr., Andrew Wiley, which... apparently they want to bring him back. So, you know, yeah, we've had our problems with him in the past, but he stepped up in the Super Bowl huge. I'm not going to complain about him right now, which I did all season long. And Orlando Brown, I feel like, is going to be tagged. I've heard he's going to be tagged. We got Chris Jones that we're in the works of extending right now. You got a few other guys that are, you know, Saunders, which I know they want to bring back. Who else? Frank Clark, which that might be on Frank. He may retire.
I saw a tweet a little bit ago where he says, after winning this, I'm done. So there's a possibility.
Well, I heard he said that a while back, and I didn't know if he was serious about it or not. I didn't see any tweet, but when did he tweet that?
I saw it a while ago. It was three, 4 weeks ago. Quinn, did you see it?
See what?
Did you see that tweet? Possibly no. I saw a tweet. I saw something with a graphic, and it showed Frank Clark, and it said, whenever he basically said, whenever we win this, I'm done. That's what I saw.
Wow.
So I'll have to go back and look, but I know I saw something.
If he does, that's, you know, it's on Frank, but I did hear that he said he might retire, but which he, you know what, man,
I think
Frank,
a lot of older veteran guys are thinking about this time of year, you know,
post-Super
Frank's
Bowl, had his issues
do you want to go out on top, you know that he just came off of a pretty, I think he just had his father died.
About 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot going on right now with those guys. So I'm not taking anything that they say at the moment, you know, at face value right now. I figure you got to give it a couple weeks and then see what they have to say. I would like
to
see.
Well, if anything, these guys will talk him back into coming back. So, you know.
Yeah, you got to give them some time to, you know, clean the air and let the Super Bowl, you know, everything be good for you, right? We haven't even done the parade yet. So
he's got to decompress.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're so close to leading the NFL in playoff sacks, man, and you're going to retire, I mean, if you really want to strive for a career arc, that would be one that you could go and get.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. I agree with you there.
That could happen. I mean, I didn't think about that, but he could, you know, retire and be an end-of-the-season addition for the playoffs. Yeah. That could happen. I don't know if he – now, he could come back as a rotational piece because they are going to draft an edge.
I do know that they are going to draft an edge for sure.
Oh, for sure. They're going to. They're going to have to reach back on that position every single year.
Yeah, so...
Well,
but they're going to, I think they're going for a starter, so... Or somebody that can be...
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to rely on the starter, but they're going to bring somebody in that's going to be able to start. Not a full-time starter, I should say.
There's a lot of free agents on that defensive line. I mean, a whole bunch of... There's just a whole bunch of guys that are rotational pieces. Derek Nolley, Colin Saunders, like those guys are free agents this year. And you know, you're not going to be able to bring them all back. And so you're going to need to replace, you know, that rotational piece, that production. Look, we're lucky that Karlaftis was able to sort of ease his way into the NFL and he turned it on. I think we can expect much bigger things out of Karlaftis at the start of next year. And we're not really skipping a beat there. We're not thinking like, you know, we're not thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, enter sack number here. But I think that he's shown real improvement, and I think that we can depend on him next year. So now we got to find that next guy that can step in and help be a rotational piece, whether that's, you know, we find a couple people in the draft or we get that Carlos Dunlap type guy, you know, later in free agency to help fill in this rotation. But you know, the Chiefs are going to have to spend a lot of time once again investing in the defensive line because it's going to need significant rebuild because there's not a lot of guys left there.
Well, here's the thing. Saunders is coming back. I do know that. Nadi is probably not.
They both showed up at the end of the season, but if I were the GM, I think he would maybe choose Saunders.
Yeah.
I mean, his plays specifically in the game, and Quinn, you talk about him running off fast. He got a sack, pushed Hurts out of bounds.
Yeah, Saunders need is that coming sometimes. Back. From what I heard, he is coming back.
I definitely feel good about my Saunders call out before the game.
Oh, for sure. That's why I made sure to give you a shout out because what he has done the last couple weeks as a guy in the trenches and also going after quarterbacks, you need individuals like him. Yeah, not many defensive linemen are that fast.
Well, here's what I was told. Here's what I was told. Pretty much everybody that we have on the team right now will be back Everybody that has started for the majority of this season is going to come back with the exception of two or three players. The defensive line, they're going to try and keep intact because they need to. They want to bring Carlos Dunlap back for another year.
He might come back for
a the guy game. Is actually in a position. He has said it himself. The team knows it. They just didn't do it. He could actually play double the snaps that he plays right now. He can play as many snaps as you give him. They just want to keep him fresh. He's playing on a very team-friendly deal. So you bring him back. You bring back Saunders. You bring back. You extend Chris Jones, which would be stupid not to. Even if Frank does come back for another year and extends out, that's great. You bring in another edge rusher, and you bring in somebody else to replace Nadi. You pretty much keep your core group. You got a huge draft class. You got a lot of defensive players in the draft class. You know they're going to draft a wide receiver. That's a given. They're going to probably draft a couple of offensive linemen. They're definitely going after a safety. They're going to go after a corner. I mean, you keep the guys that are... Look, man, you just had a group of guys that... An offensive line that allowed no... Oh, yeah, we're going to extend Snead, by the way.
That's a given. If you redo the draft, Snead. If he was in, he's not a fourth-round pick. He's a top-10 pick.
Yeah,
and what he has done consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. You just had an offensive line that stopped a football team that basically rivaled the 85 Bears as far as sacks were concerned. They allowed zero sacks on Mahomes. Not only that, they allowed the fewest pressures on a quarterback of the entire season. The entire season that this Eagles defensive line has accomplished. Look, man, no matter how you look at it, you bring that O-line back, you bring the D-line back because they actually registered two sacks. They didn't. They allowed 45 total rushing yards with their 200-yard rushing attack. Three-headed monster. 45 yards. 45. You don't mess with that. You do not mess with that. You leave that in place. It's that simple. Yeah, did Jalen Hurts run all over the place? Hell yeah, he did. But that's okay. We couldn't stop everybody. We did what we were supposed to do. We basically attributed for the thing that we attributed for, their running attack. We forced him to throw the ball. He got 300 yards on us. Okay, he did. The touchdowns that he got were mainly him running the ball in the end zone when he was down on the, you know, on the goal line. So, I'm not complaining about anything our team did. And think about how good we're going to be next year. How much better we're going to be next year. We rebuilt our offensive line last year. That's what we did. And out of that, we got a 7th-round pick and what? Was he a 4th-round pick?
Who? Which guy? Which player?
Two offensive linemen. One was a 7th and one, or no, 6th-round.
Creed was a 2nd or 3rd?
Was it Creed a 2?
I think he was a 2.
He was a 2, and then
Smith was a 6. Six because he dropped so far due to... Because
of a blood clot that he had in 3 years. Yeah, 3 years ago. Or actually 4 years ago now, but it was 3 years in the past when he had those health issues, and everybody dropped on him. He hadn't had a blood clot in 3 years.
Well, I think part of the problem was, as you remember, that was during COVID year, and so none of the team doctors could bring in guys to do their own medical exam. So I think that was part of the reason why he fell, and maybe something that's not going to get talked about that much, is that because you weren't able to do your own thing, you were relying on other people. That entire draft, part of the conversation was you're not going to take a lot of risks in that draft because it was hard to go and get your own research done. You were depending on a lot of other people's stuff. So I think that's one of the things that I don't know if we'll ever get talked about that deeply about that draft, but yeah, because you were depending on so much outside information rather than your own information.
Yeah. Well, I know this, that the blood clots that he hadn't had for 3 years. So, I mean, apparently prior to COVID, he had been examined. I mean, that was 1 year out of 3. So, I'm not really concerned with him. Sky Moore, by the way, because Corey brought him up. Sky Moore is going to be a phenom next year. He's going to be a beast in this offense. I'm telling you. Between him, Kadarius Toney, you bring in the Ross brothers, you got a group of wide receivers that are going to be phenomenal in this offense. Man, Mahomes is going to have... Every day is going to be Christmas for that kid. Every day is going to be his birthday, Christmas, Hanukkah. It's going to be the most beautiful thing every Sunday, Thursday, and Monday for him. To have that offense of young players, they're going to be able to come out and just ride the wave with him. And then also to have Travis Kelce for the next 4 or 5 years. Oh, Lord. I mean, it's going to be insane.
I have a feeling they're going to retool and figure out what they're going to need to do. This offseason is going to be crazy. The combine's in 15 days. Free agency's in 30 days. And then I think in like 30 more days after that, something like that. Basically, not until April, we'll see the draft.
April, so lots going to happen. Was it 27th or 28th through the 31st, I think, is the
draft. That's probably what it is. Yeah, something like that. 27, 28. But hey,
I got to look at my calendar because I'm coming out.
Oh, well, that's going to be great. We're going to have to all get together. But also, this will be a great off season. We're going to see a lot of things are going to happen. And as I have to just tell the fans, hey, it's going to work out.
It is.
The beach figured things out last time. We can figure out things now. It's all going to work out. It will be okay.
Oh, by the way, for anybody that's asking, you may not be. Right now, the Chiefs are anywhere from plus 500 to plus 1,000 to go back-to-back and win the Super Bowl. No other team in the history of sports betting or any other team has ever been plus 500 to plus 1,000 in Vegas to go to the Super Bowl back-to-back and win it. Ever. That's insane numbers. to come back and be that number.
This is a very tight end heavy draft class.
It is.
There's actually quite a bit. Sometimes it's just weird how in college, like, each year there seems to be, like, there's this one position that for some reason, you know, the water that people drink during this 6-month time span produces, you know, like, these great tight ends, or they have the offensive line drafts or wide receiver draft, where it's like one position will dominate it. And it's not even like a media narrative. It's like, it just what happens. That there's not,
no,
like,
you
a
know what it is?
Name across the board.
I can kind of give you a little bit of insight on that from what I understand. The coaches in the college are seeing the age progression of who's in the NFL, and they are pushing the narrative on those players. They're really pushing these players to get better and better and better, and they're working with those players because they know they're going to go higher in the draft. And I think that's part of it. That's why you see if you ever look at it and you go back and you go, okay, wait, these wide receivers in the NFL are all between 27 and 31. Then you all of a sudden in that draft class, you'll see 5 wide receivers that are just animals. All of a sudden, you'll see 5 of them that just came out of the woodwork. And it's no difference when it's defensive line and offensive linemen are the same way. Right now, you're seeing a plethora of defensive linemen that are up in age, Fletcher Cox, all these guys that are up in age. And all of a sudden, this year, you've got a group of defensive linemen that are absolute animals, from edge rushers to interior guys. And there's a ton of older guys, even Chris Jones, 29 years old. A lot of guys are older. And this year is, and last year wasn't that heavy in defensive linemen.
No, it wasn't. I mean, there were some guys, but it wasn't like what we see this time around.
No. So it's kind of weird how that plays out, but it's like college coaches are almost grooming these guys based upon the age progression of starters in the NFL. And I've noticed that over the last, mainly since about 2015. It's really gotten more of a, really, I guess maybe longer than that, probably 2012, 13. It's gotten more and more prevalent within college and NFL ranks. They're almost tying themselves to that age progression. It's weird, but that's just how it's playing out. So you'll have one or two that are, they're always grooming, because you'll have those one or two that get injured and maybe knocked out for the rest, you know, early in their career. But then you have age progression. And they know that by the time they're 27, 28, they're going to be starting to fall off. Just kind of how it plays out. Very rarely do you see a Travis Kelce. I mean, how often do you see a 33, 34-year-old tight end that's still playing at a high level? You got Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, you know, Antonio Gates. Those were the guys. I mean, how often do you actually see it? Very rare do you see a tight end that plays at that level for that long. He said, how mad would you guys be if we used a first-round pick on Kincaid or Donnell? I wouldn't be mad. I mean, I don't know. I think we need an edge rusher, and I think that's where they're going to go. If they're going to go for somebody in the first round, I imagine it would probably be a red edge rusher or safety. Or maybe a corner, but I feel like that's where they're going to go in the first round. But who knows? Veach is a psycho. I mean, look, man, the one thing I can say about that man, he's a freaking witch. The guy has got a crystal ball somewhere in his office. He's got some kind of a voodoo magic that he knows things that no one else knows. And he will pull stuff out of his butt that no one else will ever assume that he's doing. It's very hard to pin him down on anything.
You know what he does?
The guy... What?
Veach? Do you know how he does it?
Oh, I thought he said he does drugs.
No, no, no. What he does... No, what Veach does is he plays Madden, and then he'll just sim through the draft, and then he'll reload it up, and he just drafts all the best players.
I pee my pants.
That's probably that's true. He never know. I know one thing he said is they do a lot of war room situations, so yeah. They prepare. They actually will sit there with a simulator and see. Now, they probably have something better than what we use, but all those 80 million ads on our computers, and we try to do those. They have like some good software, but he will go through, and they as a team, they will go through and see, okay, who's got drafted here, who has got drafted here. They probably have really good different modes, like aggressive bounds, things like that. But that's how he got guys that we saw, such as McDuffie,
Carl Office. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Wake follows those players so much.
Because he did that, this team is so much better than what they were. College, and we're going to be covering the – go ahead, Quentin.
It's the value of drafting within. It's the value of sticking with guys. You know, Brett and Andy Reid have been together since, like, 2003, since they were back in Philadelphia. He's been in the entire system, regional scouts, the head scout, and he started as an intern. So the guy, when you're that close with everybody, you know, you don't have to check in every single day and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. You know, you only have to come together to talk about the big decisions. And, you know, that I think that's part of it. And I don't know if that'll ever get talked about enough, is that, you know, when you have that, you work well together. You know, I think that in some places you see the head coach is, you know, the boss of the entire system. And then another place, it's like it's the GM that's the top dog. I think here in Kansas City, they truly both are on equal footing. And that takes a lot of work from the individuals, not like egos get in the way, and knowing that, you know, they have a goal of work making the best team that they can create. And that comes from not letting anything get in their way and allowing both of the sides, both the coaching and the talent acquiring side, you know, work well together and not against each other.
Well, just remember that the reason why Veach is here is because of Andy Reid. And they, you know, Veach was Andy Reid's assistant / scout. He was also a scout for the Chiefs prior to becoming their GM. He was a scout and assistant for Andy prior to coming to Kansas City. He's also, remember, he's not lazy. He travels and he finds these players. He asks for film for these players from high school on up. Again, like I've told Caleb, he's been spotted at high schools in freaking Montana and all these weird places watching game, and then he asks for that film, and then when he finds out where they go, he wants to know where they go to college, and then he finds out where they end up getting recruited, and he goes and talks to that college coach and he says, hey, I want this kid's film, and he follows him all the way through college. And then if he doesn't get to draft him, he finds out where he does it. He knows where he gets drafted, and then he follows him there until he gets him back.
That's how he got Tony. He wanted Tony. How he got him. Tony.
I mean, he's not – this man is methodical. He's not a lazy guy. As a GM, he doesn't rely on his scouting group to find players. He still goes out and finds them. Now he just does it on the Chiefs jet. And sometimes he does it on a, you know, might fly freaking Delta for all I know. But – he's not a guy that sits around like Dorsey did eating candy bars and saying, hey, man, did you find anybody? Oh, I don't like him. I don't like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we've been saying this for a long time, and Andy finally said exactly what I've been saying on this show for years. You know, he beat the hell out of our doors, and then I beat the hell out of a door saying, hey, we need to get this kid because Veach is beating the hell out of my door. Watch this film. This is the kid we need to get. And that's who we got. He's responsible for us getting so many players from 2013 up. Pretty much all the players that we have and have had. It's insane. Everybody gave Dorsey credit for everything. I'll give Dorsey credit for one player. One player. That's Travis Kelce.
I mean, I would give him credit with some other players we have. I will say Brett Veach, though, was the guy kind of background helping. But I will say this, Dorsey had a lot of misses. If you look at some of his drafts, some of those guys were not within the league within a couple of years. Guys like Jehu Chesson. There was a linebacker from Florida State who went at one to like some FCS school the Chiefs drafted. I mean, there were several guys, not saying they were bad, but they just not worked out as a system. And what we've seen with Veach, pretty much every draft pick he's had over the last couple of years has basically panned out and done really well.
He's had three phenomenal drafts out
of it. Two different understandings of GM thought process. Dorsey was kind of the old school. Veach is more the new school. And the new school is working right now. Like you say, he's going all the different places. And because of that, it's helped this team tremendously on multiple different levels.
Well, this will tell you something. You know what Dorsey said about Patrick Mahomes in the office? He said, I don't want to look at the kid. He's never won a national championship.
Well, national championships don't mean everything because we've seen guys who have won championships and have not done anything. Damn, it's those guys. There's, like you said a long time ago, Jake, it's those guys from these smaller schools sometimes in these later rounds that aren't from the Alabamas, that are not from the Georgias, that are not from the USCs or the Ohio States or the Penn States. There are these guys from like Rutgers, Will Pacheco. These guys like Washington, Trick McDuffie, the guys such as Trey Toledo. Smith, Tennessee, Toledo, Kareem Hunt, that are battling. They're the ones that push through.
So that's the point. That's what that's what Veach does. That's what I love about him is the fact that he looks for those guys that are hungry. The guys that are undrafted, the fifth, sixth, seventh round guys, and the undrafted guys are the most hungry in the NFL, and they got the most to prove. And when you get those guys and you put them on a team like this, you're going to find the guys that are going to be the most dominant in the NFL, especially with a great head coach. You can't go wrong, man. And that's what we've done for five straight years. That's the difference between a Dorsey wanting OBJ and Jarvis Landry and all these other big-name guys, put all the egos in one big room and let them kick the shit out of each other versus let's get the guys that maybe have no ego and want to come out and prove everything. That's the difference right there. That's what makes Veach the greatest GM that's been in the league probably ever that I've ever seen versus John Dorsey and Carl Peterson and Scott Paoli, the biggest mistake the Chiefs have made since.
Well, he was a Patriots legend, but he did the Patriot way.
Yeah, well.
The Patriot way doesn't work on every team. There's a reason why it's worked with them.
Where's Paoli now?
I think he's an assistant. It's not, is it the Lions, I think? Do you know Quentin?
Is he getting people coffee somewhere now?
No, he's not doing that.
He was doing Starbucks runs.
No, he's not. No, I think he's like, I don't know if he's a GM or he's like helps. He helps a specific team. I don't remember who, but I remember seeing that. He also was on CBS sometimes. But we see what certain individuals, it doesn't work. It doesn't work out. And as Jeff A. Casey said, I'm so glad we traded Hill. We got a Super Bowl. It worked out. You trade the players. Sometimes trading a one person away, get five picks back, investing your team is going to work. You can't pay everyone. And because of that, Veach did the right move.
He did. When you become predictable, it's time to be unpredictable. It's time to make a change. And we were predictable. We were absolutely predictable. And, it was showing in 2020. It really became evident in 2021. Tyreek started dropping passes, among other things that he was doing, and it just didn't work out. So the best thing, Veach waited until the exact right time. He got exactly what he needed out of it. And look, man, how many Super Bowl teams have you ever seen have, 12 draft picks or 11 draft picks, then have 9 to 11 draft picks 2 years straight? That just doesn't happen, man. It doesn't happen. I'm sorry, but that's just not normal. I mean, most Super Bowl teams have nothing the next year because they put all their eggs in one basket to get to the Super Bowl. Look at the Rams. Look how many times they've dumped everything into one basket to get to a Super Bowl, and the 3 or 4 years after that, they don't even make the playoffs. Case in point, they went and won the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals, deservingly. And they didn't make the play. They didn't win what? They won 6 games the next year? So, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But anyway.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't know what we got left.
I think we pretty much covered everything. The one thing I would say is that we will be doing draft coverage soon.
Yes.
We'll have draft boards and things coming about. So, if you guys are interested, I see couple people, I had said a couple players. We'll be putting some of that stuff out soon. Just kind of let you guys know about that. So there'll be an article, things like that. For those who are interested, maybe want to join us in our group, just reach out to us DM. Also email. Definitely. We're more than happy to see what you can do. We'll bring you on. We'll figure
anybody
things
wants
out.
To write or write articles, DM us. We're more than happy to bring you on if you can write. If you feel like you're struggling with writing, just let us know. Definitely, I'm willing to help you out in any way I can. And we'd be happy to bring you on. So definitely let us know. With that being said, we will talk to you guys again on Thursday.
See you later, guys.
Everybody. Thanks for joining.